Today we meet Jonathan Peach, Barker's Nationals candidate. The longtime party member is a first-generation farmer in Tintinara. He's also a Colbatch CFS volunteer, and he has a belief that individuals have a right to govern themselves. He joins me now. Welcome, Jonathan.
Good morning, Jenny. Great to be with you.
Good to have you with us. You've been with the Nationals for 17 years as a party member. Have you always had political aspirations?
Yes, you could probably say that. I joined in my late teenage years, and my reasons for being involved in politics have probably changed and matured over the years, but it's certainly been a long-held interest.
So what are those reasons?
I suppose when you first join up as a younger person, policy debates and getting stuck into things is probably fairly high up there as a motivator, but as I've become a father and moved into a different stage of life, I'd say these days improving our local community and trying to achieve better outcomes for my daughters as a future generation would be the higher motivator.
What do you think are some of those issues that your daughters will have to grapple with into the future?
Look, in regional Australia, I think we really need to focus on service delivery so that they have the opportunity to raise a family in a safe way. And there's a lot of opportunities in regional Australia, and we're seeing that at the moment with the explosion of agriculture as an industry.
Right, so how would that translate into policies?
I suppose my desire and motivation is to ensure that as they're making decisions, whether it's education, raising a family as I mentioned, but they have the options to be local, and so that's quite a driving motivator for me, is ensuring and trying to push for local education options, local medical options. It's just not acceptable when people have to drive 200 to 300 kilometres to get somewhere. And I think as we progress into this century, we need to make sure, particularly with the opportunities that digital communication is presenting, that we deal with a number of those things.
So like things like incentives for doctors in regional areas and that sort of thing?
Yeah, and I think I had a very interesting conversation the other day with some GPs around the lack of GPs and the challenges that have been presented there. And I think we really need some structural change in how we motivate people. It's not just about the short-term incentives. We really need to give them a reason why they'd want to go regional and then stay there. And probably look at some of the pay structures around that as well.
Housing's another big issue for prospective renters and first home buyers in the regions and also everywhere really at the moment. It's really tough for some people to get a property at a fair price. How would you tackle this?
In regional SA, we've got the land to build houses. I think in talking with some of the councils and other interested parties, it really seems that we've got a problem of policy around the metrics that were used to decide whether to go ahead with projects, that we can't keep applying a city-based population metric to underlying funding for some of these regional housing projects. And I think it's just one of these things where we just need to get it done. We need to open up some development areas. We need to provide the opportunities for our private businesses to build some houses and focus on it as a key priority.
What about the cost of housing, though? It seems like it's certainly skyrocketing for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I actually find this really challenging. I've been fortunate enough to get a foot in the door as a younger person in regional SA, but I look at my siblings and what they're now facing in a matter of 3 to 4 years and the difference there. Cost is always a supply and demand issue, mostly a supply and demand issue. So I think if we can actually increase the supply, that should definitely assist with the cost. We've also, I see this as an opportunity too, because if we are running out of supply in regional Australia, it does mean that we've got people moving back to the bush and taking up that opportunity. It wasn't that long ago in my town, Tintinara, there was 6 to 10 houses on the market all the time and they just didn't move. And now a house gets listed, it's sold within weeks. So that is a good news story, but it does come with that negative of a tightening of supply, and we just need to try to work on addressing that.
With us at the moment is Nationals candidate for Barker, Jonathan Peach. Were you disappointed that regional SA missed out on $7.1 billion of national infrastructure spending in the coalition's budget? I understand Nationals MPs in Queensland received that lion's share.
Yeah, quite and disappointed, but I think it highlights the capacity of National Party members to deliver in their electorates. And when I announced the candidacy for Barker, it's one of the things that we highlighted, that we need to be looking at some of those bigger projects in South Australia. and trying to use those to drive our regional growth.
Let's talk about the River Murray. SA is in a precarious position at the bottom of the Murray. We often seem to cop a raw deal from the eastern states. How do you propose to maintain its health on a national level?
Well, I think we need to deliver the Basin Plan in full. This is an argument I often have with my interstate National Party colleagues, and I won't be shy about that. I think they're wrong in a number of the things they put forward around it, and we've taken that debate to them at our federal conferences and councils. But I think from a South Australian perspective, we need to, there's some opportunities to look at other means of securing supply down here, and things like using the desal plant on a more permanent capacity to increase supply. Now, I'm not saying that we should do that in lieu of getting water that we're entitled to from interstate. I'm saying that this is something else we can look to top up locally.
Yeah, I mean, there are concerns from the opposition, other minor parties and environmental scientists about the position of the Nationals being against environmental flows, which they say is anti-science. So do you agree with them on that? How are you going in your fight to sort of challenge the belief of the party?
Well, I do. So I disagree with my interstate colleague. I'll be quite clear on that, particularly around the delivery of the 450. And I think the environmental flows are also critical in ensuring that we actually maintain our irrigation supply. They sort of go together. But I've, as I mentioned earlier, I've been taking that fight from our perspective as Nationals in South Australia to our federal conferences. And the last time that they tried to move a policy motion federally to adopt getting rid of the 450, we had that debate in the conference floor and we lost it by one vote. So that does tell you that it's not a universal belief within the National Party. There's some very divergently held views. I would say, though, that some of those MPs are putting forward positions that are very tightly held by their communities. And as I said, I think they're incorrect. And I think that we have to approach this from a whole-of-basin view, and we can't just say because it suits an irrigator in the top of the basin or in an eastern state that South Australia can be detrimentally affected.
What are some other issues you'd like to tackle in the electorate of Barker?
Look, agriculture. At the moment, there's been quite a supply chain issue which has been caused by the pandemic and then the Ukraine invasion. So I think looking at ways that we can secure local manufacturing and supply of some of our key products. So at the moment, there's a couple of nitrogen plants being looked at in Western Australia and South Australia. And while they're not in the electorate of Barker, I think pursuing those and helping to fund those would be a great outcome for farmers in Barker. So that's certainly one of them. I think roads and infrastructure is another one that comes up time and time again. It's a bit like health at the state election. We need to be looking at some dedicated, localised priority of roads, I think. And probably the other one is telecommunications. We're getting there, but I don't think we're going fast enough in terms of the black spots and increasing capacity to match demand. We have an issue where we are that as soon as the highway traffic improves, increases over Easter and Christmas, the capacity of the network just drops off dramatically. So I think some of these basic infrastructure issues in the bush need to be addressed. And I think if you go back in time and look at when the power poles were put through, there probably wasn't an economic case to run wires to every single farm across the regional SA. But it was done because it was needed. And I think that's where we're at with telecommunications now.
And just lastly, Jonathan, do you consider yourself to be a civil libertarian? And tell us more about that philosophy.
I'd say yes. One of our key philosophies in the National Party is that we believe in maximising the rights and freedoms of the local community and individual to govern themselves through the decentralisation of decision-making. And decentralisation, regionalisation has been a big and growing focus of ours. We think that local communities should be making the decisions that affect them and that centralised metropolitan decision-making is not the way to go. So as a philosophy, definitely, I'd say I lean more to libertarianism in that regard because I think it benefits our local communities when they're empowered to make those decisions.
Thank you so much for your time today, Jonathan.
Thank you.